in Luke, the 11th chapter, in Luke, the 11th chapter, begin verse 34 down through verse 36. The Bible says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. There's an old saying, and I've heard it many, many times. And the saying is that bad things come in threes. And to a lot of people, this appears to be a true statement. We know that life itself is filled with good and bad events. But what happens is that when something bad happens, we start focusing on the bad. And we start thinking about the things in our life that are bad. And we get to a count of three and say, aha, I was right. I was right. The tendency to do this affects us in many ways. When a person gets depressed, they focus on all the sad things in this life. It isn't that they have nothing good happening. They only take note of the depressing things because of their mood. Even when you point out something good, immediately it's discounted. When a person doesn't like another person, they see everything another person does as wrong in their view. Absolutely wrong. They can do no good. And we, of course, understand that this is not a good thing. The interesting experiment that was done involved people being asked to watch a video of people who were dressed in either white or black, and they were asked to pass basketballs between the people as they scrambled about. Now, the viewers were asked to count the passes to people in white only. And at the end, they were asked for their count. And then they were asked, what about the gorilla? Well, now, the immediate response was, what gorilla? What are you talking about? Well, about half of all of the people didn't notice a person in a gorilla suit walking into the middle of the passing, thumping his chest, and then walking out. Now, you say, now just a minute. How could it be that they missed something so obvious? Well, the reason is they were not expecting it. Later experiments showed that if people knew about the gorilla, and they all saw him, that they would miss other unexpected things in the video. Again, about half the people would not notice. Now, this basically is what's behind magic tricks or sleight of hand. Setting up expectations and then doing something totally unexpected. Now, what I would like you to consider is how many things are you not noticing in life because of expectations. How many things? Let's just take, for instance, the subject of generosity. We know what the Bible teaches about this, that we're taught to treat others equally. Jesus in Luke 6, 30-35 said, give to everyone who asks of you. From him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is it to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. You know, in this world, and it's sorry, I have to say this, but too many people are only generous whenever they believe they will receive a benefit. The wise man of old observed this in Proverbs 19 and verse 6. Many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Generosity, as such, is not something that is appreciated by the rich. Proverbs 22 and 16. He who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. But we should do good because it is the right thing to do. In Galatians, the ninth or the sixth chapter, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially to those of the household of faith. We need to think about this, and we need to put it into practice. But we also need to remember that we don't treat people differently because of their wealth. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15, God said to the people, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Notice this now. This goes both ways. You don't favor the rich or favor the poor. You don't despise the poor or despise the rich. Now, what you do? Well, you are liberal in your giving. In Romans 12 and verse 8, Paul wrote, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, he who gives, wow, with liberality, the benefits to those who are generous are oftentimes not immediate. In fact, they're quite indirect. It may, being generous to someone might come back at a much later time. In Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 and 2, cast your bread upon the waters, For you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven, and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. You know, if you feed fish, and later when you're looking for food, guess what you've got? Fish. That's one reason why we catch and release, so the fish can grow up and be caught again next year. But we need to be willing to help, because we may not realize who might need the extra help, or whether one day we might come back and be the one who needs help. And, you know, this is really important. Blessings come to the generous. In the Proverbs, the 11th chapter, in verse 25, the wise man wrote, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." You know, this isn't a purchasing of favors. I mean, that would be bribery. It is simply the way it works. When we are being generous to others, others will in turn pay us the same favor someday. But we know that this is how people respond when someone has treated them well. The wise man wrote in Proverbs 18 about this. He said, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." You know, this is an important fact. We gain favor with people whenever we are generous. But, you know, God takes notice and pays back. And in Proverbs 19 and 17, Proverbs 19, 17, "He who has pity on the poor," now listen to this, "lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." But do you notice who needs help? You know, Proverbs 22 and 9 says, "He who has a generous eye." Now, this gets back to our theme, doesn't it? "A generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." To have a generous eye is to take note of opportunities in which to be generous. To focus on where you can help someone else. The Apostle Paul, I'm sure Jesus was behind it, in Galatians 2 and 10 said, "They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do." Paul himself didn't always have an abundance. He said he had learned to be content with whatever he had. But he always remembered the poor that were around him. There will always be poor, though. And this is where we get down to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. Mark 14 and verse 7. "For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish you may do them good. But me you do not always have." Jesus just stated a fact that the poor will be with us always, no matter what we do. But we, of course, have an obligation to help them as much as we possibly can. Now, I want to get down to this. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have missed a point there. There we go. Proverbs 28:27. Don't hide your eyes. Now, the poor are always with us. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. We need to remember that we have an obligation to those around us who are poor. Now, I want to get back to our theme again and talk about the evil eye. In the parable of the vineyard, in Matthew 20, verses 10 through 15, we have some workers there that didn't like the owner being generous to workers who came late in the day. Read with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal with us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go away. I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or, now listen, is your eye evil because I am good? Instead of seeing the master's generosity, what he saw was, well, they got the same amount and did less work. You know, I've experienced, I've been around and seen people get upset because someone is remembered or someone is praised. And at the root of it is the fact that they believe that they also should be remembered and they also should be praised. And you know, this is just a fact. The fact is that people grumble and find fault. That is a fact. Listen to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Now think about that. Think about that. Do not grumble against one another. This is fault finding. Fault finding. And why? Because you might be condemned. And listen to the seriousness of this. This is how serious it is. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. In a list of sins, Jesus mentioned people with an evil eye. Look at this. Mark 7:21-23. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. An evil eye does what? Well, we read it in the beginning. An evil eye brings darkness in. and all we see is darkness. This is descriptive of a person who is unhappy at another person's good fortune. It is a person who is focused on wanting to see misfortune. But like this, we find that there's the miser, who's also usually also a man with an evil eye. He doesn't like to see others benefit from him. In Proverbs 23, begin verse 6, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. He is focused on increasing wealth, but he doesn't see others. Proverbs 28 and 22. Proverbs 28 and 22. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. He doesn't get benefits from helping others. So little comes to him in the future. In other words, he's the opposite of the man with the generous eye. But you know, there is a fact that needs to be considered here. To give, not give, to those who have need is a sin. Now look with me back at Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 9. Beware, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cry out to the Lord against you, and it become sin among you. The example of this might be what we often hear. Oh, he'll be taken care of by someone else. He'll be taken care of by someone else. But, in other words, opportunity to do good was passed by. Why? Because of the person's focus. Evil eye. Now, what kind of an eye do you have towards others? Are you looking at people to bring them down or bring them up? Are you, in fact, looking for good that you can do for others? Or have you lifted a stone from your brother's way as he struggled along life's road? Have you lovingly touched some poor, frail, toil-worn soul, shared with someone his heavy load? I know that this is a hymn that we often sing, and it's one that is full of pertinent thoughts along this line. You might take a songbook and look at hymn number 515, because there are very pertinent thoughts in there to this lesson. We don't want to be found with an evil eye. We absolutely don't want to be found with an evil eye. We want to be the person who cares about his brother. We want to be the person who reaches out and helps and takes care of the things that he stands in need of. We don't want to be evil in our eye. We want to be sharing, generous, have that compassion that Jesus teaches us to have towards others.